third hour of the show. Thanks for joining us as always on this Tuesday. It is much appreciated. A classic back and forth last night, Rami, between the Kings and the Bucks.
Yeah, man, that was fun.
A very entertaining, fun game. And, you know, the Kings truly did push the best team in the NBA. The Bucks are the best team in the league. And for 45 minutes, the Kings gave the Bucks everything they could handle and then some. It was a fantastic watch. And the guy that really was just tremendous from the beginning through the entire game, really, was Domantas Sabonis. Domas finished with 23, 17, and 15. Yet another triple-double, which is just, at this point, comes across as a walk in the park for this guy, which is outrageous. 23, 17, and 15. And it wasn't an easy matchup, Rami. You know, Brook Lopez is seen as the guy who's going to win the Defensive Player of the Year award in the NBA this season. And Domas took it to Lopez right out the gates.
There's also a guy named Giannis who tends to roam them that paint, too,
yes,
and can block a shot or two.
Here was Coach Budenholzer in the postgame talking about Domas and that matchup between he and Lopez.
You know, we were just talking in the locker room. It was like a heavyweight, you know, 15-round, you know, whatever, boxing match. And Sabonis was incredibly impressive and, you know, feel the same way about Brooke. They're just two great players just going at each other, you know, kind of his best stuff against Brooke's best stuff. And I think the fourth quarter, you know, they kind of started going to Herder and he got hot and, you know, we had a hard time tracking him and Sabonis was a big part of that. So, but just the whole game, it was, you know, it was a matchup to watch, Brooke and Sabonis going against each other. And, you know, I think everybody got their money's worth.
Now, earlier in the show, Nick, you did not go back on your declaration that you're done with moral victories. But you called last night a quality loss.
Indeed.
Which I don't know what the difference is, but I'm just going to let you have
you're
that.
You trying to fight me about semantics here?
I'm not going to fight you on that. Can we have individual moral victories? Is that okay in the Nick Cattles book? Because before Giannis flipped the switch in the third quarter and went Superman on the Kings on his way to 46 points, for like 2.5 quarters, with Brook Lopez in his face and Giannis helping, Domantas Sabonis was the best player on the floor.
I was thinking that exact thing last night watching.
That's
like
not...
Giannis was out there and I was thinking, like you said, about midway through the second quarter, I'm saying to myself, Domas is the best player on this court right now.
And Brook Lopez and the rest of the Bucks getting as physical with him,
yeah,
as I can remember.
Tougher
anybody.
Matchup for Domas than Giannis. I mean, as we talked about earlier in the show, the Kings really don't have anybody. Good effort, good job, good effort by HB, but they don't have anybody who can defend Giannis.
He was going in there and taking all the bodies, taking all the contact, as Budenholzer described right there, it was a heavyweight bout. And not only did he show a strong chin in a heavyweight bout, he was throwing blows as heavy as anybody out there was throwing. And for me, big moral victory for Domantas Sabonis last night. If I'm Domantas Sabonis, and I know he can't because athletes aren't wired to think that way, but put my brain in Domantas Sabonis last night, leaving that arena, I'm feeling really good about myself. I'm feeling like I'm leaving the arena like I got a W. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
hanging over my head.
We've had the conversation about is he or is he not all NBA. I mean, looking at last night's game, if you put that game on and you watch it off the DVR at any point the rest of the year, what you see is a guy who is absolutely all NBA talent. And I would be very surprised if Domas does not make one of the three all NBA teams. And if you're an all NBA guy, this is what you do in those kinds of games. That is the elite player that we talk about, mm-hmm, who plays at such a high level when the game is at its highest stakes and the matchup is at its most difficult, to give you what Domas gave you last night. Speaks volumes of that dude's talent level. This is somebody who should absolutely, no doubt, surefire be considered a top 15 NBA player this season. That's what he's done. That's absolutely what he's done. And you saw it last night. It's a big game. He embraced it. And he did everything he could humanly possibly do to get you to that W last night. Unfortunately, it fell short. The other thing I would say, Rami, And I've said this about Domas's compete level, right? But the urgency. His urgency last night. You could tell. I thought the entire team came out ready to play. Mm-hmm. And that's why the game was so much fun. Those guys came out ready to play. They understood the mission. They understood the challenge.
They knew they needed to get another. They needed to go to another level.
No
to
doubt.
To compete with the Bucks last
no
night.
No doubt.
And they dialed that up.
And how do you do that? You know, how do you set that tone? Last night, the way the tone was set was Domas going right into the chest of Brook Lopez. All right, you're defensive player of the year. That's what people are telling me. Mm-hmm. You're defensive player of the year. I'm going to go at you. And I'm going to go at your chest. And I want you to prove that you can stop me. And Brook had a heck of a time trying to prove that last night.
And he didn't. Like Brook Lopez, as good as he's been defensively all season long, did not have the answer for Domas. I mean, look at that line at the end of the night, Nick. Look at Domas's line at the end of the night. And almost any time that you're getting that from one of your best players, we're talking about a win, man. We're talking about a victory. When a guy comes out and racks a triple-double like we saw Domas rack last. Not just any triple-double, like a pretty dominant triple-double. Not many guys are putting up 23, 17, and how many assists did he
15.
Have? 15. That is a dominant game against the best defensive big man in the league this year. Like
yeah.
you said, the guy who is the front-runner or right amongst the front-runners for defensive player of the year. To come out and do that and keep your team in contention with the team that has a championship under the belt, that where the Nick Cattles of the world and many others are saying is the best team in the league, to come out and lead the charge, like you said, of raising your intensity, raising your urgency, and setting that example for everybody else that's running into that game behind you, it speaks volumes about Domas Sabonis and the type of basketball that he's playing right now.
And he also showed the rest of the team very early on the amount of physicality you would need to match Milwaukee.
Yep.
And the matchup between he and Brook and what he did in that matchup, I thought exemplified across the board what the Kings needed to do to bring the fight almost, no pun intended with the end of the game, but to bring the fight to the Bucks on a physical level, and Domas set that tone. I also just thought he was incredibly decisive last night. He looked very confident in everything he did.
Yep.
It looked like he knew exactly what he wanted to accomplish with almost every single touch of the basketball. And I think last night was Domas's, and this might just be recency bias and getting swept up into a fun game. I honestly thought that was his best game of the season. I would argue that was his best game as a King. And not just the 23, 17, and 15, even though that's nice. I would also bring your attention to the fact that he only had 3 fouls last night. He was playing incredibly physical.
And wasn't getting any help from the referees.
It wasn't getting any help. He only had 3 personal fouls last night. It's been an issue for him all year. I thought he played good defense for the most part against Lopez and others. It's tough for him because Lopez will suck you out with his 3-point shooting. But he only had 3 fouls, and maybe even more important, Rami, he only had 1 turnover, which is huge because, first, a tough matchup against Lopez one-on-one, and second, we've seen Domas turn the ball over when he goes against length and physicality at times, and he did not do that last night. So only 3 fouls, 1 turnover to go with all the other great stuff we've talked about.
It was a pretty close to flawless game for Domas last night. And you're right. It might be recency bias. I can't remember being as impressed with the dude as I was watching that game last night and grading it on the curve of what he was up against in terms of the competition, the physicality, all the traffic that was in the paint last night. That was some performance from him. So individual moral victory, or are we just calling it quality loss for Domas too? What are we calling this one?
Individual moral victory.
There we go. All right.
Look, I think you walk away from that game saying to yourself, yeah, I'm not worried about Domas one bit. Playoffs, big game, tough matchup. He's going to show up. He might not give you what he gave you last night, but that man is going to show up.
I don't know what this says about me, but growing up playing baseball, if I went 4-for-4 at the plate and we lost, I'd still walk away going, hey, man, I went 4-for-4. I had me a good day. I did everything I could do. That's how Domas should walk away from that game last night.
I think that's a perfect window to your soul. 916-339.
What do you want me to do? I hit the ball. I got on base. What do you want me to do?
I did all I
could.
Drove
in a couple runs.
916-339-1140 is a text line. Phone number is 1-800-920-1140. Don't forget, SacktownSports.com is the website. Check us out. We got Emil. By the way, Emil Fragoso will be joining us in about 15 minutes or so to talk Niners, free agency, other stuff going on in the NFL. Emil and Chris Watkins and Frankie and Joe do great work. SacktownSports.com. Check it out. And don't forget that we have the app, Sacktown Sports 1140. You can listen to us from anywhere. And it's Sacktown Sports 1140. Check out that app and follow along. What's going on with Keegan Murray? We're going to discuss the rookie in 90 seconds.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Time to check out Cosi Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men. Again, thanks to Cosi Medical Clinic. Some people in the chat very happy with Domas' game last night. And look, you got to be.
He's a beast.
He was tremendous.
Yeah, man.
As Eddie Olczyk, old NBC hockey color commentator, used to say, tremendously tremendous. He was tremendously tremendous last night. Somebody who wasn't. And look, we are going to give you the caveat. We're going to give you the disclaimer. We're going to approach this to let everybody know we're not panicking. We're not freaking out. We're not saying that Keegan Murray was overdrafted.
Speak for yourself.
We're not saying Keegan Murray is done.
You bench him.
But what's going on with Keegan?
Is it too late to trade him? Can you not trade him at this point?
Too late. Have to wait to the summer.
Damn it.
Yeah. 7 points, 2 rebounds last night. 2 out of the last 5 games, he hasn't scored a point. And in those 2 games where he had a combined 0 points, he had a combined 3 rebounds. Again, not panicking. Not telling you he's trash. But I was a little perturbed by Katie Christensen last night watching this game.
Why is that?
Katie approached this as like there's nothing to see here. You know, people are talking about the rookie wall and his legs. Well, here's what I would like. I would like a balance, okay? We don't have to lose our minds because Keegan hasn't played great in 3 out of the last 5 games. I would argue Keegan has been invisible 3 out of the last 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
The invisibility cloak he's been wearing, okay?
That's a good comic book reference. I don't know if you meant to or not.
Including, I used to collect comics when I was 12.
Okay. I don't appreciate what you did there.
You know, not getting rebounds, you know, not scoring, not taking many shots, just not active. And I don't think we have to lose our minds, Rami, about this and say, oh, this dude is done. But to just overlook it or to sweep it under the rug or to gloss over and say, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's not. I don't think that's the right way to approach this either. I mean, we're getting closer to the playoffs. We have to tell you when somebody, we just waxed poetic about Domas because he was ridiculously good last night. But Keegan, the fact is, 3 out of the last 5 games, he hasn't been very active. He hasn't been very productive. And that, against good teams, can cost you.
You're not going to like my...
Are you gonna chant for a trade here?
No.
You gonna tell me he's done?
I never know with you. No, I'm honestly more along the lines of Katie Christensen on this, and not in that it's necessarily no big deal. Because, man, you to make a deep playoff run, you're gonna need night in, night out, basically the best version of Keegan Murray. Because this team counts on, for them to be the best version of the Kings that they can be, it's when Keegan Murray is your number three option. You know what I mean?
Microphone with Chris Watkins and Deuce Mason.
It's Domas, it's Fox, and when the Kings are at their best,
it's a mic, not a toy.
Keegan slots in behind those two guys, and then you have Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter,
right,
and the rest. So you're gonna need him, but at the same time, like this guy ain't gonna come out every night and look like the best
but
player.
That's taking the
this
leap.
This is rookie stuff,
but
and it's not new.
But that's taking the leap that I don't think is necessary. I'm not saying he needs to come out and average 15 points a night. I'm not saying he needs to come out and score 20.
I'm saying seeing these
games.
Not
scoring a bucket.
Well.
Getting three rebounds over two games. Like, Coach Brown, I can guarantee you this. You know who has a problem with it? Coach Brown.
Sure.
Look at Keegan's minutes.
Obviously.
Keegan can't break 26, 27 minutes the last three, four games.
But this isn't something new. Like, if you're worried about him hitting a rookie wall, if that's what you're worried about, this was happened. I mean, I'm looking at his game by game right now. He had 6-5 in mid-February. He had 2-3-2 to start February. He had, now January, he was ridiculous.
But we're 65 games in. That's the difference.
But he's still
we're
a rookie.
More games in. I know. So what I'm saying is, look.
December was awful.
Here's the biggest issue with this, right? Again, I'm not saying I'm surprised. I'm not saying that I'm shocked. I'm not saying that there's not any, like, reason or any of that behind it. What I'm saying is, right now, you got how many games left? 16? 15? You're getting closer and closer and closer to the postseason, okay? You need to know who you can count on. You need to know as you get ready to try to make a deep playoff run who you can depend on. And look, this might become a blip. And Keegan next week, Keegan tomorrow against Chicago could score 30. And we'll say, okay, great.
Back on track.
He got back on the beam.
Mm-hmm.
I understand nobody's telling me anything I don't know about rookie seasons, and I get it. But what I'm saying is, you have to know who you can depend on as you play in the postseason. And if Keegan continues to have these drastic kind of ebbs and flows, if he goes a couple of games without scoring, if he goes a couple of games with grabbing two or three rebounds combined, then I don't feel as good about depending on Keegan going into a postseason series.
Neither do I.
As I did a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks, a month ago.
I would like to see January Keegan Murray show up for the playoffs. Am I necessarily convinced that'll happen? No. And if that doesn't happen, he's still a guy that's going to be able to help and contribute, but you won't be the best version of yourself. I get what you're saying about wanting that version of Keegan Murray.
We were just talking about this guy a month ago.
I understand.
About developing into the third option on this team and how he's developed so much and he's opening up his game and he's doing this, he's doing that. And then he's kind of been in a shell the last few games.
Agreed. I can't disagree with you. I know I can't necessarily count on that to be the case of him being there night in, night out, of being the best version of himself.
And if that's the answer, it's fine. I'm just saying for people who might, I think we have to prepare for that. If this continues, have to prepare that Keegan might not be as vital of a piece in the playoffs as you were hoping just a month ago. And I think TCG brings up a great point. And, you know, he points out in the YouTube chat that Keegan's still learning how to play physical. Last three games have been very physical. He disappears when it gets rough. I want to pay attention to that line. He disappears when it gets rough. And what my message is, the postseason ain't nothing but rough. And so if we were hoping that Keegan was going to be able to give this team an offensive boost, because again, we were very excited going back a few weeks ago. He was developing. We were waxing poetic. We said, this guy, if he continues to be, you know, somebody who's the worthwhile third piece of this team as you get to the postseason, this team's very, very dangerous. And all I'm saying is if TCG is right, and by the evidence so far, as the game gets more physical, Keegan does have more issues. If that's what's going to happen when we get to playoff basketball, then we should probably pump the brakes a little bit as far as our expectation level for Keegan. And I think it does a disservice for everybody to not point that out, because I don't want people to just say, oh, it's just rookie, you know, it's just rookie stuff. No, if it's an issue where it's more physical, which is why he's not grabbing rebounds the last few games, if it's that, then he needs to, as TCG points out, he needs to develop that part of his game and approach. And if he doesn't get to that point this year, it's fine. It's just, let's not expect this guy to be a major piece of the puzzle in the postseason.
If he hits a January-like stride come playoff time, this is a super dangerous team. If he's this guy who's up and down, and like a lot of rookies are, the ebbs and flows of a rookie season, it's something you're going to have to overcome in the postseason. And that's a possibility. It's a possibility that Keegan Murray's play and inconsistency in his play as a rookie will be something that you have to overcome in the playoffs.
Yes.
I totally accept that that's a possibility.
And the good news is I think you've got the guys. The good news is you don't have to rely on Keegan to be that third
You're
guy.
You're the best version of him,
right?
Of yourselves when he is that guy.
When he's playing great like that.
But you can find ways to win when he's not.
You can have Herter go crazy like last night in the fourth quarter. You can have HB come up and put up a big game. You can have Monk and Lyles come off of the bench and give you the production. So that's the good news of this. I'm just saying individually in a vacuum, looking at, you know, who Keegan is and how much people should, you know, expect from him, we all have to remain cognizant of the fact that he is a rookie. He is, when the game gets physical, a little less aggressive and active.
Sure.
And if that continues, then other guys will have to step up. And I think those other guys are capable of stepping up. But I wouldn't treat it as nothing. That's all. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. Don't forget the website, sacktownsports.com. Also the app, Sacktown Sports 1140. Next, 49ers, an NFL beat writer for Sacktown Sports, Emil Fragoso, joins us in studio. I need love. I need love.
Love this song.
Little LL.
Soft LL.
Simone. Yeah. Simone got the big LL smile on her face right now. Oh, can't hear you still.
I can't hear Simone either.
She wants to say something badly.
I was going
to
say, what about the kid? Emil?
What kid? Oh, Emil?
Yeah. Do you need some cans?
Yeah, he needs headphones to hear Simone.
I'll get him some cans.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What?
Bank. So, Emil's known for quite a while. He's going to be on the show.
Yes.
He walks into the studio.
I don't think he accounted for the fact that he
doesn't put any cans on.
To hear the people on the other side of the glass. Is
his
mic on?
His mic's not
hear.
On either.
He has it turned
it's on.
I can't hear.
Oh, it wasn't
there we
turned
go. A little
on
bit
on
more juice.
There we go.
There we go.
All hell's breaking loose right now.
I make an
LL joke and all hell breaks
loose. Well, I know that.
All right, Emil Fragoso with us, SacktownSports.com.
Our guy is right.
He writes all about the Niners. He writes about the Raiders, of course, some other big NFL stuff as well. Emil, we got a lot to dive through here, buddy. There's a lot going on in the world of the 49ers. Let's start with this. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on the Javon Hargrave deal?
Massive. Out of the blue. Like, shock everyone, including Matt Maiocco and all the NBC guys out there who are in touch with every single person, every single contact possible. They were shocked by this. To pull off a deal of getting Javon Hargrave, who is arguably the best defensive tackle in this class of free agents, arguably the best defensive lineman in this class, defensive player possibly, that's a huge deal. And to be able to afford a contract like this, 4 years, $84 million, I mean, where are they getting the money from? A lot of restructuring, a lot of things got to happen, but very much a win-now move for them.
That being said, I mean, part of where they got the money from, Emil, is, you know, to slide in this piece of the pie, they had to cut out a couple other pieces of the pie. Mm-hmm. We've seen a couple free agents walk away now. Do you think they've added more than they've lost with that one big free agent signing, and you look at some of the guys that have walked out the door?
They've added more star power. Depth they have lost, yes, losing Azeez Al-Shaire, losing Emmanuel Mosley. Those are big losses. They'll have to fix that somehow either in the draft with their 11 draft picks.
Jimmy Ward
as well. Yeah, yep. McGlinchey, they were kind of moving off of anyway. They wanted to give Colt McKivitz a shot at that right tackle spot. He's been so consistent for them as a swing tackle. But yeah, there's a lot of issues in terms of what's their depth going to look like, because their biggest strength has been their depth, especially on the defensive line, offensive line, whatever it is. They have a lot of depth there. But this is a win-now move and a statement move for them, and it's the one, frankly, they probably needed to make.
Emil Fragoso is with us here in studio, Cattles and Rami, on this Tuesday. Of course, all guests on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Why have him on the hotline when he's in the building working for us? We just bring him right down the hall.
Yep.
So here's an interesting kind of philosophical question for you, Emil.
Yeah.
So the Niners, I think, they had two ways they could go. Mm-hmm. They could spend really big on the defensive line and bring in somebody like Hargrave, right? And spend less money at the vet quarterback position, which they did in Sam Darnold.
Yes.
They could have gone another way. They could have used some of that money that they paid Hargrave and brought in maybe a little bit of a quote-unquote sexier veteran quarterback by paying him more money and leaning less into the defense. Are you okay with this plan of let's go all in with Hargrave, build this defense, and we got enough at quarterback that we can survive?
It's about building the defense because they already have so many good players in place already on that defense. Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Arik Armstead. There's so many good players already. It's about shoring up the weaknesses. And what's been the biggest weakness for the Niners, especially last season in the playoffs? It was the defensive line up the middle in the interior. Kenneth Gainwell, Miles Sanders, they ran all over them in the NFC Championship game. It's about making sure every spot has a strength. And with Javon Hargrave, you can no longer double-team Nick Bosa. You can no longer let Arik Armstead go one-on-one. You got to go at every single player. You cannot just box out two players. You're not getting a sack. You're not getting a tackle. Everyone's going to be able to eat now because of Javon Hargrave's impact on the interior.
I think when you look at the quarterback picture for the 49ers, mm-hmm. Emil, and to hear John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan tell it that Brock Purdy is our guy, mm-hmm. still believe in Trey Lance, that he can keep this thing on the tracks if Purdy isn't ready, but Purdy is our guy, and Sam Darnold, that's just some insurance. What do you think are the chances that the quarterback position is chaos all over again for the 49ers next season?
Depending on the last few seasons, probably high. I mean, you could do a 50-50 shot that they could come down and Sam Darnold could play a couple games this season. I mean, he did it last year with the Carolina Panthers and had him almost in playoff contention for a second there. Mm-hmm. And you can tell by the contract what he signed with all the incentives of play time, QBR, wins, that those are in there in case he has to step in and be the guy. So it's a really good deal for both sides, and probably he doesn't play that much. He probably doesn't hit those numbers, but if he has to, just like Jimmy G last year with his restructure, it makes sense to have a guy who, he's only 25 years old. He's still got time to be somewhat decent Sam Darnold in the NFL. Who knows? Maybe Kyle can unlock him. You never know.
Did you want a little bit more proven, a little bit more safe, a guy at quarterback to protect themselves?
My curiosity was more with how are they going to be able to afford a top-end backup? And Sam Darnold is more of a top-end backup, so getting him at a number of 4.5, 3.5 guaranteed is a really, really good number. I was expecting it to be someone like a Matt Ryan or an over-the-hill quarterback who has seen, you know, better days in the past, but trying to win a ring and be kind of a player-coach kind of thing.
Sure.
And so that's what's surprising about it, too, and why it's so perplexing is Sam Darnold. Okay, didn't expect it, but I kind of like it.
Emil Fragoso with us, SacktownSports.com. Talk about perplexing. Is Jimmy G much of an upgrade over Derek Carr for the Raiders?
No, not even close. Like, he's a downgrade. I'm saying that as nicely as I can. Jimmy Garoppolo, I've watched you. Love you, man. But I don't know how much better you're going to do than Derek Carr with his offense. And maybe Josh McDaniels knows what he's doing with Jimmy Garoppolo. But, Nick, as a Patriots fan, do you think New England 2.0 is going to work in Las Vegas?
I would not be overly confident of
that. Yes, that's the way I feel, too. Yeah. I just don't know kind of what they think is going to happen. I feel like there are a lot of issues, especially on the defensive end, not even on the offensive part of it.
Defense is a mess.
Yeah. If you can't sign Denzel Perryman, their best linebacker, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, you need someone to tackle. Like, are we just going to outscore people? Is that what Jimmy Garoppolo does? Does he outscore people? I don't think so.
Do you think this is just them counting on a better fit of Jimmy G coming in and knowing Josh McDaniels and his system? You trade Darren Waller, but you bring in Jacoby Myers, another guy who knows Josh McDaniels and his system. Is that what they're banking on?
Yeah.
Is just these guys being a better fit with Josh McDaniels and what he's trying to do?
They're making it on the Patriots' way. Mark Davis has given Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, they've given them the reins to kind of run it the way they did in New England and kind of get their guys and all that stuff. And who knows? It might work with Jimmy Garoppolo. He knows the system better. He had some good days in New England, but that was also a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
So we don't know what it is, and Jimmy's not the player he used to be in terms of especially mobility. He can't really move in that pocket, and with the Raiders and their offensive line issues at times, who knows what it's going to be like?
It's a scary combo.
His name is Emil Fragoso. Again, he was kind of sort of on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline, somewhat. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Emil, thanks for the time, man. It's much appreciated. We'll do this again when we got a little bit more time, break down the 49ers. I would say near draft time, but I don't know. They got a lot of picks, but not a lot of early picks. I don't know how many people are going to be paying attention with those compensatory picks.
That's their bread and butter, though.
It is.
They trade up? Any possibility they trade up with all those picks?
Totally a possibility, absolutely. If they want to go after a certain guy, they're looking at offensive tackles, they're looking at offensive linemen, defensive linemen, maybe some cornerback, too. They need that now that they've lost Emmanuel Mosley. So there's a possibility for a trade up in the second round, but that's kind of as far as I think it can go.
All right, he's Emil Fragoso, Cattles Rami here on Sacktown Sports. We talk Dungeons & Dragons, weight loss, and more. What they said what next.
You never know what you're going to get with an open mic. It's the good, bad, ugly, and funny from this past week in sports.
They said what?
On Cattles and Rami.
All right, we got some interesting sound bites. They said what this week?
Always do.
Kind of all across the board, all around the place. By the way, the NCAA tourney has started.
What?
Yeah. Have you been watching? You have it on in the studio.
Wait, this is like the tournament?
Well, it's the...
These are the play-in games?
Yeah.
Are these part of the...
Yeah.
Are these part of the station pool? Are there points to be had in the station pool on this?
I have no knowledge of any pool that you talk about.
I haven't fit... It's just for... Cookies.
Oh, the cookies.
Yeah,
pool.
The cookie pool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I filled out my bracket for the cookie pool.
No, you don't
okay,
have to.
So I'm not losing any points here.
You don't have to worry about that.
Good.
No. I'm going to do
all
my...
So you'd be down four already, Remy.
I'm going to win all them cookies.
I'm going to do all my work tonight.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'll just cram in
the morning. Well, I fly out for Vegas tomorrow after the show.
Oh,
so
that is true.
I kind of have to get it done.
That is true.
By tonight. All right. Mike Brown. Obviously, we know one of his passions in life is basketball. We also found out this week that he has another passion in life. What could it be? Well, listen to this.
I heard you play Dungeons and Dragons. I used to play it all the time. I love it. Love the fun game. My son, my youngest son, actually plays D&D. Cameron. Good. It's a fun game, though. Yeah, I love to play. It's just so long, man. It's kind of like golf. I don't really like golf like I like Dungeons and Dragons. They're both long. I'd rather play D&D than golf, though.
So he gives the check mark to D&D over golf.
I never got into Dungeons and Dragons.
You've never played?
I've literally never played the game in my life.
I got in deep when I was younger.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Oh yeah.
Really?
I've never played one time in my life either.
I can't believe that.
Got in deep.
Simone, you too?
I've only played once.
Okay.
But it's definitely in my alley.
If I busted out the term Vorpal Sword, none of you guys would know what I'm talking about.
Pardon me? Is that a hockey player?
A Vorpal Sword is a sword that you could slice limbs off with.
Really?
Yeah.
So I just asked Simone this on this side of the glass. Was D&D, and she said yes. D&D was the thing where you could, they had different places set up throughout your community and you could go, like they had shops and stuff.
Yeah, they used to have, like, places you could get D&D stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't. We wouldn't go there to play. You could go. I think you could go there and play, but we never did that. We used to play at, like, you know, my buddy's house and my brother's friend's house.
That's where you'd go to, like, get the cards
pieces. They had all sorts of, you know, 20-sided die and 10-sided die and 4-sided die and 6-sided die.
And I don't say this in a derogatory.
Little pieces, and you had the like, the little grid you laid out so you can go. Oh, yeah, man.
I don't say this in a derogatory way.
And the dungeon
way.
Master would have a big board in front of him. So
a Vorpal Sword?
No, big board in front of him or her. And, you know, you'd go on adventures, man.
I can't believe
I was all in on D&D.
So, 60-second synopsis, what is the game about? It's a dice game?
Good luck.
On a board?
Good luck.
Get him, Nick.
In 60 seconds.
I've never... Didn't know about D&D.
So you're living in, like, medieval times, pretty much. And you go on these adventures. You go on... So you could go, and one night, like, one night we'd play, and it was, like, a fun night where you would just go around and mess around, and you'd do all sorts of stuff about the town. And it all depends on the roll of the die of how your character reacts to certain situations, how much they drink, how much they do this, how much they do that.
Cooperative play.
If they get into a fight at a gentleman's club back in the day in the medieval times, if you mouthed off to somebody who was sitting next to you at the bar, and if it turned into a fight, what fight did it... So it's all that, but you also would get into, like, you could get into wars, and you'd have to kind of build your own army, and so you just have different characters, and it was, if you like creative writing, and you like just using imagination and stuff like that, it's I found it to be fun.
I'm not saying this to be insulting or derogatory. Did I say this?
You've been waiting so long to drop this line, it better be good.
The most respect. Yeah. I didn't know you had a nerdy side to you.
I mean, I like pro wrestling.
Yeah, but
I feel like anybody who likes pro wrestling has a nerdy side.
I guess, but I mean like Dungeons and Dragons, that's a different brand of nerd. You know what I mean? And one of the things I love about what's happening in pop culture today.
One of the guys who used to play with us was a Navy SEAL. So,
and that's what I'm saying. One of the things I love about what's happening. You tell him that, Jet.
Stop it.
One of the things I love about what's happening in pop culture today is nerds are kind of cool, or at least they're not like outcasts. You know what I mean? Like the D&D kid can be cool and popular in high school.
He's not
like locked away in some basement somewhere, like the kind of were back in my day. I didn't know.
I was all in.
I didn't know you had that kind of nerd side to you, and I like it, Nick Kettles.
I love it. I celebrate this.
I was all in. I haven't played in like
Nick. You have
God
to give
knows.
Us like a segment worth of this sometime in the summer of like. What? How does jumps off?
Can we play for a segment?
Are there winners? Are there losers? I'm just trying to figure it out.
I mean, we don't have to play it to completion.
Well, yeah,
just to get an idea of it. I just want to play like 15, 20 minutes to get an idea of it.
Dude, I haven't played in like 25, 30 years.
Can we put a baseball spin on it?
I don't mind spending two segments just playing a game of D&D.
Summertime
when there's nothing going on. We got four hours to fill, bro.
Do I need to go get me a D&D piece? A mascot or a figurine or something?
Do I have to pick a wizard I want to be? What do I got to do?
You have little pieces.
Uh-huh.
You can purchase little pieces of character.
Yes.
And that's you use it on the board if you'd like.
Can you get them custom made?
Yeah, you can get your whole thing. I liked it because it had your personality. Like you could create your character and like whatever your personality was. You could be like a super nice person who got taken advantage of like during fights and stuff.
Okay.
Or you could be like the badass guy who had a bad attitude. And it was just
one more question.
Putting you in different situations.
One more quick question.
Sure.
Because this is the point where nerddom goes too far, and I think you should be an outcast. Have you ever LARPed? Were you ever a D&D LARPer? Live action role play, for those of you who don't know.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what does that mean?
No, I was going to ask him what it meant to.
People dress up as characters.
No.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I have not
and other
done
nerdy
that.
Things.
I have not gone to Comic-Con or anything.
And they
that
go
stuff.
Out to the park with, like, foam swords and fight each other. All right.
Vorpal swords.
Vorpal swords were awesome. You cut off a limb.
Foam Vorpal swords.
Somebody messes with you and you, whoop, there goes
if
a leg.
If you did LARP, it would be okay. It'd be okay.
You would find significant others. All that stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Did your character fall in love and then you get all in sorts of trouble? Like,
is this an expensive hobby here, Nick, or no?
It wasn't too It wasn't too expensive.
Vorpal sword, by the way, forward for the Bruins.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Right shot. Right shot, right wing.
He's a winger.
Yeah. He's on the right wing. Second line wing. All right, so Mike Pouncey, last time we saw him, he was chubby. Here he was talking about his extreme weight loss with the media.
You know, you get so used to being in a routine, we just challenge ourselves. It's like, all right, let's drop this weight and see how fast we can do it. And I've had him by my side throughout my career and even post-career. And, you know, he makes it easy. But the process for us was just, man, just stop eating like linemen. We stopped eating all the carbs. We stopped eating 6-7 times a day. And we just, yeah. And honestly, everyone's like, they ask us all the time, like, how do you guys eat? I say, like, rabbits. He say, well, what do you mean? I say, what's the difference? I say, well, back when we was playing, we ate like pigs. So, I mean, that's the only difference I can explain it.
Like, how much you lost?
We lost 70 pounds. So now I weigh about 228 pounds. And, you know, I was playing, I was 303 pounds around that weight. A lot of weight in a year.
Dude, the transformation of offensive linemen from when they leave the game.
Joe Thomas is like a bodybuilder now. Like, the guy is ripped.
They look so different.
It's crazy.
They drop weight immediately. Like, insane weight. Because they're told to, as Pouncey said, eat like a pig.
Who was the Eagles lineman? We were talking about his diet and just what it takes to keep all that weight on.
Was that Lane Johnson?
It was Lane. It was insane. They have to consume crazy amounts of calories and then put it to good use. Because you don't just want to be some big fat lumbering guy. Like, these guys are in shape, but also pushing like 325, 330. It's the scariest thing on any field of play anywhere is when you see like how in shape and how quick these guys are at that size. And then, yeah, the transformation when they retire is insane with a lot of these guys.
I feel like we got to squeeze this in because it was overlooked. I thought this was pretty significant. Kelvin Beachum, offensive lineman for the Cardinals, was on Arizona Sports, our friends down in Phoenix. And here he was discussing Kyler Murray.
Grow up. Give me an example. Be a man and grow up. Like, it's not complicated. You got to be a leader of men, period.
And he's not right now.
He's maturing.
But he's not there yet.
He's not there.
It's not a completed process.
It's not a completed process.
Be a leader of men. He's got all the tools, you think?
He has all the tools, man. If some guy can throw off one leg, he can, you know, throw it a mile. He can run faster than anybody else on the field.
He just lacks the leadership.
He's put together. I didn't say he lacks the leadership. I just think he needs to grow up a little bit. And I think if he has the ability and the willingness to grow up, he's going to be just fine. They paid him for a reason. They paid him because of his talent, and he has the ability to lead. It's just when you're in that position, we need you to lead more. Like, you're the face of the franchise. You got to lead more. You got to lead in every single capacity of leadership. And that's what they look for out of a franchise quarterback. They've given you, you know, $500 million. Like,
I mean, I don't know, but to me, when you say that the franchise QB1 needs to grow up, it's a pretty significant line from somebody who is his current teammate who helps protect him on the offensive line. I mean, he's telling us that Kyler Murray is pretty much, you know, immature and has issues. And you know, there's been a lot of rumors and other stuff going on about him and how he handles his job. And I thought that was pretty significant to publicly come out and say that.
I'm going to bring this back around to the Kings real quick, if that makes any sense, Nick. We're talking about Mike Brown and his reaction to the win over the Knicks last week. And he came out and said they were terrible. Basically, they were lucky to win that game. And he came down hard on them. And you and I both said, that's fine, as long as he said the same thing behind closed doors. And Malik Monk confirmed that Mike Brown had very much the same message, if not more strongly worded,
right,
behind closed doors. It's even if what he's saying about Kyler Murray here is true, if he hadn't had that talk with Kyler Murray before he went and said this in the media and on a podcast, he's out of line, man. He's out of step, and he's not helping the situation at all. Have that talk with your QB and your teammate if you want to be a leader and you want to sort of help this guy along in becoming your franchise QB. I get that. Have that talk with them in private first before you go saying this to microphones, if you ever need to say it into a microphone at all. I just don't know how this is helping the situation unless he's already had these conversations with Kyler Murray in depth.
The fight from the Kings and the fight next on the Top Spot.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.